Welcome to Clear Text. It's Monday, August 31st, 2026. I'm Alex Chen.
And I'm Jordan Reeves. 284 million patient records. That's the number Shiny Hunters is claiming from the McKesson breach. If even a fraction of that holds up, we're looking at one of the largest healthcare data compromises in history. And it happened through a third-party application. We'll get into that. But first, we need to talk about what's happening inside your routers right now. Because a Chinese espionage group just demonstrated they can hide inside Cisco iOS XR infrastructure in ways that don't show up in your running config. That's where we start.
Big show today. We've got the FireAnt campaign hitting core network infrastructure, the DOJ walking back who was actually breached versus merely targeted by Chinese actors, North Korea's job fraud scheme spreading well beyond IT roles, Russian hackers deliberately poisoning AI analysis tools, the McKesson breach, Berlin getting hit by Reseda, Anthropic locking out Claude users after InfoStealer compromises, a proposed AI kill switch law that should concern every CISO deploying autonomous systems, and active exploitation of paper cut servers. Let's get into it.
So, FireAnt. This is a China Nexus group that Cygnia has been tracking. They were previously known for going after VMware hypervisors, which was already alarming enough. Now they've expanded to Cisco iOS XR routers, TACAX authentication servers, and Linux management hosts. And Alex, the technique here is what makes this genuinely frightening. They're establishing covert GRE tunnels that do not appear in running configurations or commit history.
Let me make sure the audience absorbs that. Your network team runs show running config, everything looks clean. They check commit history, nothing unusual. But there's an active tunnel exfiltrating data. That is a fundamental breakdown of the trust model that network operations teams rely on every single day.
Exactly. And it gets worse. The campaign is specifically designed to blind security logs and steal credentials from TACAX servers. So they're not just hiding in the infrastructure, they're actively degrading your ability to detect them and stealing the keys to the kingdom simultaneously. TACAX is how you authenticate privileged access to network devices. If that's compromised, your entire network management plane is owned.
So what should CISOs do Monday morning? If you're running Cisco iOS XR at the perimeter or in court routing, this requires an immediate audit. And I don't mean running show commands from the CLI, because as we just discussed, those can't be trusted. You need out-of-band verification. You need to be looking at traffic flows for unexpected GRE tunnels. You need to audit your TACAX infrastructure independently. And frankly, you need to have a conversation with your network team about whether your current monitoring architecture can even detect this class of threat.
The broader pattern here is that nation-state actors are increasingly living in network infrastructure, not endpoints. We saw this with Volt Typhoon in edge devices, FireAnt in hypervisors, and now routers. The adversary has figured out that your EDR doesn't run on a Cisco router.
And that connects directly to our second story. The Department of Justice issued a formal correction last Friday. They had previously stated that NASA, the Federal Reserve, the Department of Energy, and the DOJ itself were victims of Chinese cyber operations. They're now saying those agencies were targeted, but not confirmed as compromised.
That's a fascinating correction. And look, on the surface, it might seem like bureaucratic hair splitting, but the distinction between targeted and compromised carries enormous legal and regulatory weight. For CISOs listening, this is actually a masterclass in why precision matters in your own incident disclosures.
Absolutely. If you tell your board or your regulators that you were breached when you were actually targeted but not compromised, you've created liability where none existed. Conversely, if you downplay a confirmed compromise as merely being targeted, you're in a different kind of trouble. The DOJ just demonstrated how easily this can go wrong at the highest levels of government. Your legal counsel, your communications team, and your security team need to be aligned on this taxonomy before an incident, not during one.
And let's not lose the forest for the trees. Whether these agencies were compromised or merely targeted, the scope of Chinese cyber operations against core U.S. government institutions is extraordinary. This is happening alongside FireAnt, alongside the broader Volt Typhoon campaign. The strategic picture is consistent and it's aggressive.
Staying with nation-state threats, North Korea's IT worker fraud scheme has expanded significantly. Jordan, this one has been simmering for a while, but the expansion beyond IT roles is a material change.
It is. We've been tracking DPRK's fake worker program for years now, and the conventional wisdom was that it was primarily an IT problem. Fake developers, fake engineers getting hired at tech companies. What we're seeing now is placement in healthcare roles and sales and marketing positions. That's a completely different risk surface.
And it means the mitigation can't live solely with IT hiring managers anymore. This has to be an enterprise-wide HR security initiative. Identity verification, contractor vetting, background check processes,
all of it needs to extend to every function that hires remote workers. And I'd argue especially healthcare, where access to patient data and clinical systems creates both an espionage value and a revenue generation opportunity for the DPRK.
The maturation of this program is impressive from a Tradecraft perspective. They're not just generating revenue anymore. They're positioning for data access and potentially planting long-term access for future operations. Every CISO should be asking their head of HR this week, what is our verification process for remote hires, and does it account for this threat?
Now, Jordan, I want to pivot to something genuinely novel. Russian hackers are deliberately embedding prompts into malware to trip AI safety guardrails. Walk us through this.
So ESET has identified a technique they're calling Guardbreaker, attributed to UAC-0099, which is a Russia-aligned group with ties to Sandworm and GRU operations. What they're doing is embedding strings like nuclear weapon construction prompts as comments inside VBS malware scripts. When an AI-powered analysis tool ingests that malware sample, the safety filter triggers and the AI refuses to analyze it. The malware effectively says to the AI, "I'm too dangerous for you to look at," and the AI complies.
That is brilliant and terrifying in equal measure. We have spent the last 2 years telling boards that AI is going to transform our SOC operations, that it's going to accelerate threat detection and analysis. And now adversaries are specifically designing malware to exploit the safety mechanisms built into those AI tools.
Right. And this isn't a theoretical concern. This is happening in production in Ukraine against real targets. If you're deploying AI augmented analysis in your security operations, and most of the major vendors are now building this in, you need to understand that the adversary is already adapting. Your AI tools need adversarial robustness testing. The safety filters need to be tuned so that content within a malware sample doesn't trigger the same guardrails designed for user-generated prompts.
It's an architectural problem. You can't just bolt AI onto your analysis pipeline and assume it's additive. The AI itself is now an attack surface.
Let's move to breaches. The McKesson story is the biggest thing on the board today, and maybe this quarter.
Shiny Hunters is claiming 284 million patient records stolen from McKesson through a third-party application compromise. McKesson filed with the SEC. The intrusion was detected August 25th, so we're less than a week in. They described the investigation as early stages.
For context, McKesson distributes pharmaceuticals and medical supplies to pharmacies, hospitals, and clinics across the United States. The downstream exposure here is enormous. If you are a health system, a pharmacy chain, a clinic that works with McKesson, you need to be assessing your integration points right now. What data flows between your systems and theirs? What APIs are connected? What credentials are shared?
And the third-party application vector is the story within the story. This wasn't a direct compromise of McKesson's core infrastructure, at least based on what we know. It came through a third-party app. We keep having this conversation about vendor risk management, and we keep seeing it validated in the worst possible way. 284 million records. If that number holds, it dwarfs the Anthem breach. It dwarfs most of the healthcare breaches we've seen. The HIPAA exposure alone is staggering.
Two other breaches worth noting quickly. Berlin's city government confirmed data theft following a Ricita ransomware attack. The governing mayor publicly stated the city will not pay the ransom. That's a clear policy position, and it adds to the pattern of Ricita targeting government entities specifically. If you're in the public sector or regulated industries that interact with government, this group is actively hunting.
And Anthropic locked out Claude users after InfoStealer malware, including Vidar, Luma C2, Redline, and Atomic Stealer, compromised login sessions. This is the story I want every CISO to internalize. Your developers and knowledge workers are using Claude, ChatGPT, Copilot, and these tools have access to code bases, API keys, business data. If an InfoStealer grabs that session token, the attacker inherits all of that access. AI tools need to be in your credential management and endpoint protection scope explicitly. They're not nice-to-haves anymore. They're high-value targets.
Two more items to cover quickly. The proposed AI Kill Switch Act would mandate government-controlled remote shutdown mechanisms for AI agents operating in the U.S. CyberScoop's op-ed draws a direct parallel to the Clipper chip debacle of the 90s.
And it's an apt parallel. Mandating a kill switch is mandating a backdoor. It doesn't matter what you call it. If there's a mechanism to remotely shut down an AI agent, that mechanism can be discovered and exploited by adversaries. For CISOs deploying autonomous AI systems, this legislation, if it passes, would force significant architectural changes and simultaneously introduce new attack surfaces. Watch this one closely.
And finally, PaperCut. Active zero-day exploitation of PaperCut NG and MF print management servers. Attackers are installing persistent remote access tools on compromised instances.
Emergency patches are out as of August 27th. If you have internet facing paper cut, patch immediately or restrict web access to trusted IPs. If you haven't patched yet, assume compromise and investigate.
All right, let's wrap with what we're watching. Jordan, the through line today is infrastructure trust. FireAmp hiding in router configs you can't see. AI tools being weaponized against themselves. Third-party apps as the entry point for a potentially historic breach. The common thread is that the things we rely on to operate and to defend ourselves are being subverted at a foundational level.
Agreed. And I'd add that the adversary sophistication we're seeing across all four major nation-state actors, China in network infrastructure, Russia in AI manipulation, North Korea in human operations, it's converging. They're all getting better at exploiting the gaps between our security domains. The router team doesn't talk to the SOC AI team. HR doesn't talk to threat intel. These seams are where the adversary lives now.
For this week, three actions. 1. Audit your Cisco IOS XR and TK ACAX infrastructure for FireAnt indicators using out-of-band methods. 2. Assess your McKesson integration points and third-party application exposure. 3. Review your AI tooling, both your defensive AI pipeline for adversarial robustness and your enterprise AI tool access for credential theft exposure.
It's going to be a busy week.
That's Clear Text for Monday, August 31st, 2026. Show notes and links to every story we covered are at cleartext.fm. I'm Alex Chen.
I'm Jordan Reeves. Stay sharp.